We're glad you're joining us here at Common Thread Online. This is a recording of our community gathering, as we do each week, to think together about the spiritual journey. At the end of the lesson, we open the floor for discussion. We'd love to hear what you're thinking, too. Go to our community's Facebook page, post your thoughts. Well, welcome, and good morning. It's been a bit of a rough and tumble week here at Common Thread, and so today is not what I had planned, but it is about this current lesson that we've been doing, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. So today is going to be part community meeting and part Sunday lesson. We're going to be talking about a spiritual response to racial inequity. It's part community meeting because this is personal for us this week, and it's part Sunday lesson because it's also bigger than just our community. We're working hard together to stumble our way forward, being spiritual people, virtuous people, living in the inherited reality of racial inequity. We've been working on it, but this week showed us, we're not there. Miles to go before we sleep. So welcome to the narrow gate. That's what Jesus called it, the difficult path, the uncomfortable path, the hard way. And if you know someone who would want to walk this hard path with us, trying, falling down, getting up, trying again, we're looking for allies, so maybe you'd share the live stream with that person. Invite them to come do this hard thing with us, and welcome. It was a tough week, but throughout it, again and again, I was so glad to be doing this uncomfortable, be doing this growing context with you people. So welcome. Take a deep breath. All who are here, welcome. Relax your body, comfortable place in your mind, a comfortable place in your body. Let the tension go and welcome my whole self to this moment. Mental, physical, emotional, welcome. Breath in, relaxing as you exhale. And welcome. Spirit of the living God among us, welcome. Another breath, and relax more deeply. And together, we willingly enter communion, one with another, welcome. I mentioned on our Facebook page that we would be doing this morning differently, lesson first, guided meditation afterwards, but it turns out when you do a lesson and a community meeting all in the same morning, it got way too long. So I'm going to move our guided meditation to Wednesday night's Zoom call. We'll do the loving kindness meditation at the end of this. I hope you see, that would have been relevant. So first, let me do some quick announcements, and then let's get to it. But I have a request. Please say your hellos during the announcements, as we do. But then let's reserve our comments until the end after we've done some thinking together and some reflecting together. Because what I'm hoping for today is deep processing, deep learning, and sometimes when we're distracted, one of the nice parts about the live stream is the ability to have side conversations, but distracted learning sometimes doesn't go as deeply. So quick, say hello while I do the announcements, and then we'll comment together at the end. Well, if you are a newcomer, damn sister, you picked a tough day to show up. But on the other hand, you are going to get an inside look at how our community works, so welcome. We're glad you're here, and if this doesn't send you running for the hills, some of our nicest people would like to email you, send you some information about the community, but also invite you to get to know some folks personally here. So if you'll text your name and your email to that number, 762-6722, you'll also find it in the post on the live stream. Then if you send your name and email to that, they'll send you the email with all those invitations. One of the things I'd like to invite you to is Sunday, May 31st, before the live stream at 9 o'clock, is a get-to-know-each-other newcomer Zoom. To get the link to that, you'll need to join our Facebook group. So if you search Common Thread Network on Facebook, then you can request to join, answer a few questions, and that's where you'll find the link and the password to the Zoom. Now, communication team, I deleted the next couple of announcements in order to make time for this community meeting, maybe next week, or you know what I think, maybe just wait until they show up in the rotation again. So this Wednesday's Zoom call, again, the loving kindness meditation, and then we'll talk together, I suspect, about this morning. The Zoom link also in the Facebook group. What are you still thinking? Happens right after the service. Again, Zoom link on the Facebook group. Join in. The Zoom meeting for the teenagers, and then the Thursday night, you should have that information. If you don't, contact Michael. Miss Chris is going to have story time for the elementary kids right after this, as we've been doing. And Temple Stable, remember, service work, systems work. Service, if you have enough food, give some to those who don't. Systems work, challenge the very systems that create hungry people in the first place. Both are critical, and now we're in an emergency. So, service work. With the three churches that share our campus, we're making lunches for school kids. Between 1,000 and 1,500 a week, well over 10,000 so far. Now, some of our volunteers are going back to work this week, so if you'd like to volunteer, this would be a good time. It's early mornings, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can use the Contact Us button on our website, or it's there in the post links as well. And our three congregations, we're buying the food together that we're preparing, so we're running all of our donations through Temple, and you can go to their website, templeraleigh.org, find the donate button and the drop-down menu, and you will see Temple Table there. So last week, we marshaled the highest number of comments ever registered with the Wake County Commissioners. Consequently, they unanimously directed $2 million of coronavirus relief funds to homeless residents here in Wake County, and just now, the county manager has submitted a proposal about our second request, rental assistance and eviction diversion. The One Wake Housing Group, along with the steering committee, they're going over the proposal right now, and tomorrow we'll have our One Wake Zoom press conference from 10 to 10:30 to give feedback to the commissioners, asking them to delegate $5 million of the federal coronavirus Wake relief monies here in Wake County to housing, one of our biggest problems, and in particular, eviction prevention. Because when the courts reopen in June, all the folks that have been missing their rent payments in April and May will be in for trouble. So on that call, you're going to learn a lot. I would invite you to Zoom in. I can't be there because I have my grandkids tomorrow. I'm taking care of them. But several on the on our community's One Wake team will be there, and it would be great if we had a strong showing. So if you go to our Facebook group, you can look for the Wake County logo, and that will be there. Okay. You hear it a lot these days, but I think it's more meaning-packed than we realize when we say it. We're in this together. That's true. We're quarantined together. We're having our own Great Depression together. But at a deeper level, we're in this together because the only way that we're going to get out of the big problems that we face is together. The problems, the magnitude of problems that we face, they cannot be solved without working together. Democrats can't solve a virus or an economic meltdown without Republicans and vice versa. Black people can't solve racism without white people and vice versa. We can't solve our problems without working together. Now, that's pretty easy to see if you just look around. Any group that is left out of the work-together dynamic has leveraged power to actually keep us from being able to solve our problems. So we get out of this thing when we can work together, which can feel like a very depressing proposition because look around. It sure looks like we can't work together. Not our society, not even our own church. So probably we should give up. Probably we should quit. Probably no more trying. Probably we should step back from all the chaos and all the conflict and all the messiness. And probably what we should do is find a safe and comfortable place to ride out the apocalypse. Yeah, that's probably what we should do. Or we could let ancient wisdom guide us in our dark time. And it says, hope even in the darkness. It says, hey, contemporary people living through a very dark time, hey, we faced times as hard or harder, and here's what we have learned. Keep trying. Get up, brush yourself off, keep moving forward. Hope even in the darkness. Now, you know, I've been asking for songs that have been meaningful to people in our community during the quarantine. And when I wrote this morning, I had Gene here singing one of those songs. But then when I got here this morning, I realized that the words love and the words hope can sound syrupy sweet and horribly naive unless you see the brass tacks of what those words really mean. So let's do the brass tacks first and then a song of hope when we finish. All right. If you are not in our community's online group, it's where we interact around everything from a good podcast we've heard to selling baby clothes. We had a bit of a kerfuffle in our group this week. Words, 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 feelings, 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 and a fair amount of silent, whoa, distancing. It started last week when I referenced the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery in our live stream, and Pearlie did as well during the meditation on fear. And then during the What Are You Thinking Zoom chat later, Tony, who's a longtime part of our community, an African-American man, shared the deep hurt he was feeling because yet again, another, how long? I'm enraged, I'm frightened, I hurt, my people are being hunted, and I fear for my sons, my grandson. And where are you, white people? You purport to be my friends, where are you? Now, we're a pretty open community. We try to deal with hard things when they come and do it in as authentic a way as we know how. We're not perfect at it, but we keep trying. Consequently, we've had kerfuffles before. We're a little familiar with the territory. We don't like them, but we embrace them. For those who are willing to hang in, they have actually proven to be some of the most powerful invitations to growth that we have. And because they happen, we've learned some things along the way. One is how poorly social media works for the kind of meaningful discussions that we need to have to get us to the other side of really hard things. Consequently, this week, many in our community did what we've learned to do together. They called Tony directly, listened, stood with, talked through. So, well done, you. I did too. And this morning, I'm going to tell you the story of how things went. But first, I need to tell you a little bit about me and Tony. We have a shared history, and we share personality types. And our personalities, both of us, have this odd quirk. It's a very unusual way in which we say, I love you. We yell and we shout. And after we yell and shout, we keep coming back, which to us says, hey, you're in this with me. Hey, you didn't bail out when it got tough. I see you. You love me. I know you do. Now, let me say, especially if you're new, I've learned. That is not how most people say, I love you. So you do not have to be afraid of talking to me. I hardly ever do that anymore. But this week, over a few phone calls, Tony and I had some yell and shout, I love you conversations. Now, I think it worried my wife. She was on the other side of the house. Oh my God, what is he doing up there? But it was also a conversation about the thing under the thing. That's a core spiritual practice in our community. If you're new, you will eventually hear all about it. We told one another the stories that we are telling ourselves. We told one another what we needed to have happened that hadn't happened. We told one another about our unmet expectations and the stories that we tell ourselves and why those expectations were there. And in that part of the conversation, here's what Tony told me. Doug, I need you to show me that you're my friend. Because if you are, and you see what I see, you feel the pain that I feel. And I know you can do passion, Doug. I've seen you do it. But I'm out here facing an existential threat to me and to my family and to my people, and we are being hunted and we are being killed, and it's happening again and again and again, and you purport to be my friend, but it doesn't feel like you feel what I feel, because if you did, you'd be raging too. Friends share one another's darkest nights. Friends share one another's deepest pits. And I'm in the pit, and you're on your merry white person way, enjoying the benefits of your white person, not existentially threatened life, because, Doug, this happens to black men every expletive day. It doesn't matter how you stay inside the lines. It doesn't matter how you go to the right schools. It doesn't matter how you get the right job. It doesn't matter how unthreateningly you ask every expletive day. So here's what I need, Doug. I think you are my friend, but WTF, I need you to be my friend. I need you to take a stand. I need you to know my pain and speak out against my pain and quit trying to make the white people all feel comfortable. Hurt with me. Stand with me. Stand with us in our hurt. And in a yell, shout, I love you way, Tony was saying, Doug, I feel let down. I feel disappointed. I feel alone, like you're not on my side. Really, I feel betrayed. Which was very helpful, not very comfortable, but very helpful. The thing under the thing, it usually is. Now, he and I can actually go to work on what's really going on, the thing under the thing. But it's also helpful because when we get down to the level, that is something I can feel. If I listen and if I don't jump in to justify myself, that's a pain I can feel along with Tony. I can feel his disappointment with me. I can feel how he feels let down by me, how he feels betrayed by me, by us. I get it. And I bet you do too, just hearing our story. The thing under the thing, that's how we get one another. So now I'm motivated. I want to do a better job being Tony's friend. Now, time will tell how well I do it, but the process did what the process does. It makes me want oneness, a bigger we. It makes me want to show up as a better friend. So, in this unusual way that Tony and I have evolved together, we did the conflict resolution process that our community does. So next, I told him back what I had heard him say, and then we switched roles, and I told him the story I tell myself and what I wanted. In my story, now remember, this is still in the top of our lungs portion of the program, I said, Tony, I am working my ass off to be your friend. I'm working my ass off to stand with you and for us to be on the same side and for us to pull in the same direction. Service work and systems work, it's all about racial equity. I spent 3 years of lessons related to systems work, and then I capped it off with several months of lessons on racial equity. And then, you will recall, that's when I started repeating the mantra, here now, small, doable, because if we're going to work on racial equity, we can't just sustain a jacked-up motivation for a short time. We need to be working on this now and for the rest of our lives, here now, small, doable, for the rest of our lives. And on a parallel track, you've heard me saying, we need to do the interior spiritual work that is necessary so we can function in a trigger-rich environment. Because I got to tell you, Tony, racial equity is a trigger-rich environment. And every time you hear me talk about brain biases and the other and in-grouping and out-grooming and working the circle to rise above our evolutionary instincts, it's all about sustained work on racial equity. And now we're doing here now, small, doable, on affordable housing. And whose neighborhoods do you think, Tony, gentrification is gutting the most? It's black and brown people. And whose kids do you think are most being left out of educational opportunities, Tony? It's black and brown people. And living wage so that we can afford affordable housing. Who do you think, Tony? And renter assistance. Oh my God, Tony, what else do you want me to do? You know what I need? I need a little more help and a little less pissing in my boots. Now, I promise you, I do that with Tony. I will not do that with you. What I was really saying is, I feel alone in this, Tony. I can do all the right things all day long, but what rarely happens is that people of color come alongside me and say, yeah, let's do this really difficult work. Let's do it together, Doug. And I think, you'll have to ask him, but I think he got that, just like I got how he feels betrayed by me. And after we got I love you out of our systems, some historic context came to mind. It often does. You know, I said, when big social change happens, there are usually two essential components in play, agitating and organizing. Now, the role of agitating is to make us uncomfortable with the status quo when the status quo is harming people. And agitating keeps us uncomfortable until the systems change. Agitators try to burn down what needs to be burnt down. But organizers are builders. Their role is to build coalitions of people who, because they are together, pulling in the same direction, can sustain the work of actually changing the systems that are doing harm. But here's the thing. The tools of agitating are different from the tools of coalition building. Agitating slaps people in the face to get their attention and keeps slapping until change happens. Organizing looks for common ground and shared self-interests. Organizing appeals to our better angels, invites storytelling, builds a bigger we. It tries to construct groups out of very strange bedfellows. And, Tony, I said, if you look around, it's pretty obvious which one I've been working on. I've devoted my energy in our community and our community's endeavor to building coalitions. So the tools that I use, I actually avoid top of my lungs, though clearly you can see I know how to do it. I avoid inflammatory language. I intentionally take a gentle, coaxing, come on, folks, approach, because I'm trying to build here, and browbeating doesn't work very well to get buy-in, to build coalitions. So that happened this week, and again, you'll have to ask Tony, but I think he and I understand one another better. And I think we're closer to being able to pull in the same direction. But before we continue, a couple of things about that story I tell myself. And this is mostly for good, well-intended white people. My story, it's a good one, right? Look at Doug doing good things. Noble, yeah. Virtuous, right? I am the good guy in that story. But whenever that's the case, when we are the good guys in our own stories, that's when we need to be really careful. Because our brains are hardwired to get us from uncomfortable to comfortable. Comfortable is just code for interior equilibrium. And interior equilibrium, that's what we need. When we were living way back in the caves, it's what helped us muster what needed to be mustered to get up, to go hunt game, to gather nuts, to stay alive, to have babies, to pass on the trait of get yourself back to equilibrium. So we're hardwired to do that. We're hardwired to get back to comfortable as quickly as we can. And stories that we tell ourselves, that's the main way that we do it. A cookie will also work. A cocktail will also work. But the main way, it's stories. And the stories don't even have to be true. They just have to be a story that gets us back to comfortable. Now, I really am working hard to expand our community's capacity to make a better world. All three prongs, service work, systems work, and the spirituality necessary to work in a triggering environment. And I might be a good guy. But I might also be under the influence of my brain's need to get me back to comfortable. And if that's the case, which is quite possible here, it would be easy to miss what in hindsight I might should have been able to see. How Tony, how the black people in my life could see my actions and feel disappointment, even betrayal. So now I know some things that I didn't know. And Tony knows some things that Tony didn't know. And we're both more committed to pulling in the same direction and being better friends. And by the way, another small reminder, social media really works well for agitation. But it might be that we've had plenty of that, and maybe we need more people doing building. And I defy you to do building work on social media. The kinds of conversations that we need to have to build the coalitions that we need to build, to change the systems that we need to change, you can't do that lobbing out your keen insights on social media. And so I do hope that you'll join me building a bigger version of we. Okay, white people, let's you and I talk about our particular version of uncomfortable. As I read through the posts this week, I was imagining what you all might be thinking, what you all might be feeling. Oh my God, the house is burning down. Kerfuffle. Doug, that's a really nice word, but that's not what's going on. What happened this week was grisly. And your brain might have done some of the defending that my brain did. Hey, that part's not even true. Or, hey, that's not even what happened. Or, hey, you haven't even been here. You don't even know the work that we've been doing. How can you criticize when you don't even know? We could do that, That's what we do when we tend to get uncomfortable. Or maybe your version of uncomfortable was guilt. You know the kind, white guilt. Ah, we have been at the top of the pile for so long. Ah, Social Security legislation. Ah, the GI Bill. Ah, redlining. Ah, denied generational wealth accumulation. Ah, even Eisenhower's Highway Act. Oh, guilt. We white people, we cheated. We got a head start. We should be doing more, but damn, what now I hear that I can't even do here now, small doable. That's not good enough. And I've got to go to work, and I got to take care of the kids, and I should be doing more, but what can I do? Ah, nothing will ever remove the stain of my privilege. So yeah, it was an uncomfortable week. It was an uncomfortable week to be white in a community that's trying to do better. So there is a good chance that your brain did what uncomfortable brains do. Lay blame. Avoid conflict. Justify. Withdraw. Maybe you came up with your own "I'm a good guy" story. It's the most natural thing to do in the world. When we human beings feel uncomfortable, we do what we need to do to get our brains back to comfortable. And we got a whole toolbox of mental tricks to help us do it. If only there was a minister talking about how powerful it can be to get comfortable being uncomfortable. If only someone would point us to another way, not jumping back immediately anytime uncomfortable shows up, not silent withdrawal, not blaming, not avoiding, not good guy storytelling. It would be so helpful if someone would give a message in which he said, you know, uncomfortable can be a divine messenger. Someone should teach us to ask ourselves, what is here in this discomfort? What is here in this uncomfortable for me to learn? What might I find here? Where might this take me? Where might it take us? What healing might be on the other side? But wait, there is such a minister. So, white people, I have an invitation for you. It's a small ask, very doable. I'm going to invite you to read a book with me. I'm going to tell you the story of why this book, and then I'll tell you the title of the book. As we were kerfuffling this week, I got together with a good friend. He's the VP of a large company based here in the Triangle. And recently, their company made diversity one of their core values, so they've been assessing and they've been training. They've been doing all the stuff that companies do when they start working on diversity. And overall, they discovered the company is pretty diverse, except in one place, and you won't be surprised where, it was in their senior management. So now it's senior management's turn to go through training, and this book that I'm going to ask us to read together, it was part of the training. But just seeing the title of the book, not reading it, just seeing the title, one of the VPs got all red in the face. Whoa, that's not right. Whoa, that's not me. No. And then, come on, man, just read the book and then show up for the training. And then he read the introduction and came in again, all red in the face. Whoa, that's not right. Whoa, that's not me. No. Come on, man. Just read the book and show up for the training. And eventually he did. And he did. And when he came to the training, he was a lot quieter. He still said, whoa. But he said, whoa. I didn't know. Whoa. I hadn't seen. Whoa. I didn't realize. Now, I haven't read the book based on that story. I'm going to. And I'd like you to join me. I'm thinking we'll make our Wednesday night Zoom call a book club for a few weeks. We'll start not next week, but the week, maybe a week after. Now, I know some folks have other things on Wednesday nights, and if you'd like to participate, maybe you could do a book club in your own group for a few weeks. All right, you ready for the title? Whoa, that's not right. Whoa, that's not me. Are you ready? Here's the title. The title is White Fragility: Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. So I'll put a post on our Facebook group sometime this week. Let me know if you'll do a book club with me on Wednesdays, and I hope we get a quorum, because I'd much rather read it with you. But here's the thing, white people. Whiteness in America is a case study in Jesus' teaching that where much is given, much is required. Many of you did a really good job this week being less fragile, less offended. Many of you did a lot more digging for the thing under the thing, so well done. But again, we've been given much, and we can be less fragile. We can absorb more and we can react less. We can understand more and we can brain trick less. We're making good progress and we can do better. So let's read this together. Maybe we can figure out how that could go. And people of color, some of you have voted with your feet. You're not here anymore. And I know some of you left because you were hurt. Thank you for talking with me as you went. In many cases, we were, at best, tone deaf. Sometimes worse, we were entrenched in white blindness. And I couldn't even promise it wouldn't happen again. White blindness doesn't feel blind when you're inside of it. White fragility doesn't feel fragile. It's just an instinctive brain bias to try and get ourselves back to comfortable. It's very hard to see it when it's going on. So I couldn't promise you that we wouldn't hurt you again, but I can promise we're going to keep trying to do better. Every time we fall down, I will keep leading us to brush ourselves off and try again. And so if you've got it in you, once more into the breach, we'd love to have you. But if that's an unfair ask, I really understand that too. In your absence, my new strategy is a backdoor approach. If we're going to be a predominantly white congregation, okay, I guess that's going to be the way it is. Well, let's start developing congregational relationships with black and brown and Jewish and Muslim congregations, and we'll work together side by side, and maybe that way we can learn to build coalitions together. And for those of you that were hurt during talking circles, that was a profound misjudgment on my part. We didn't do enough training to get to the other side of the really hard things. So if you were to hazard another try, I promise also I won't do that again. So let me end on this point. What I've been saying in our current lesson, what people discover when they allow uncomfortable to become a divine messenger, the enemy is not the other. Boy, it sure looks like it. When we behave so badly to one another, it sure looks like the other is the problem. But in fact, the other is just the thing. The thing under the thing is fear. And the antidote to fear is love. A bigger version of we. Now, I know that that sounds like empty religious platitude. Because the way many of us have seen those words play out, it really was empty. But Jesus was tapping into a deeply human and deeply divine principle. Love is our way out. In fact, it's our only way out. It only sounds trivial and it only sounds naive because we don't realize how demanding love is. It can be here now, small, doable. This is something that we can do, but make no mistake, it is demanding. The thing under the thing and getting a million of us to listen for the thing under the thing of the other. Demanding. But the wisdom of the ages, keep moving forward. Yep, the night is dark. Keep moving forward. The morning comes. Keep moving forward. And when everything else burns away, this is what you will find still standing, faith and hope and love. And so that's my ask, Common Thread. It isn't the first time I've asked. It probably won't be the last. Let's get up. Let's brush ourselves off. Let's learn what there is to learn in our discomfort. And let's keep moving forward. We've got tools. We've got powerful tools. You heard one of them today. Let's learn them. Let's use them. Let's actually learn to master them. So, the song. It's called Show the Way. It's a Dave Wilcox song, which is about as white gets, but you know, what are you going to do? It's a good song once you realize that hope and love are demanding. Hope and love are the narrow gate. And so while Gene is singing, listen, and if you have comments, now's the time. What are you thinking about? What's God stirring up in your heart? Well, if you would, please prepare your tithes and offerings. And as you're doing that, remember what I say so frequently, this is a good place to invest. I know there are other places who do what we do. I just don't know where they are. And I know we're working hard at this, and it's a good place to invest your time and your energy and your love and your hope and the spiritual work that it takes to be the kind of people who could do this. And so if you get to keep your job during this, I pray that you will support the community. And let's see what you all have to say. What are you thinking about? Let's see. So Chris is sending me some, let's see here. Bob Luz, some of us are uncomfortable settling for Here Now Small Doable. We need additional tools for those with the energy to, four things that are a bit bigger. Can we include those? So let me talk a little bit about what's happening with One Wake. And let me tell you a little bit about what happens when we say, Here Now Small Doable. It is a daunting and overwhelming reality to have a life and still realize that you are responsible for changing the world. And so that daunting reality often immobilizes and freezes people. So when I say, Here Now Small Doable, I'm talking about for you. But I don't want you to mistakenly believe that what we are doing is small. When we knit our hearts together with the power that comes from relationship, not power over, but power with. When we do the spiritual work to be in the environment where we can collaborate with, work with, share stories with, and share lives with people who are not like us, and together mobilize that power of relationship to make differences in our county, eventually in our state, that is no small thing. But when I say Here Now Small Doable, what I'm talking about is what it's going to cost you. Because here's what this moment and following Jesus exacts of us. We don't get to check out of the ills that beset our society. We don't get to stand back if we're going to be serious about following Jesus and say, not my job. It is our job, every one of our jobs. But none of us are also called to be overwhelmed. And when we do the work of building relationship with one another, that is something that we can all do together. Now, I will tell you this. It's a difficult environment to be in because we are different political parties and we are different races and we have different perspectives. And my God, did we ever live in a polarized moment? And you can run into that hyperpolarization at any moment. So, yeah, I'm not saying this is not difficult, but it's doable. What is asked of all of us when we all pull together is Here Now Small Doable. What we accomplish together is in no way small. What we can do to change the systems that do the harm is in no way small. So thank you, Bob, for that, because maybe that clarifies some of what I'm saying. Let's see. Angie says, I choose hope. I read the book, and a whole bunch of people said the same thing. Good for you. Susan says it's also on Audible, and the Tinklers are ordering it. Good for you, people. Looks like Sarah ordered it, too. Looking forward to reading it. Oh, good. Lots of people reading it. Doug, who is this? Oh, Chris Gravy. Doug, thanks for the courage to talk straight into this. Look at that courage. I'm a courageous guy. What a wonderful story. I'm the good guy in my story. Let's see. Tony says, I wish we could get Miss D'Angelo to speak at CTC. I don't know about that. Tony, talk with me about that later. Let's see. I see the next text. It says, getting the author of White Fragility to come speak. I don't know. I see. Let's see here. It says here that Gene's guitar and vocals were distorted. Sorry. We'll work on that next time. All right. Anything else you're thinking? Because goodness sakes, I thought that was going to take longer. I only normally get 4,000 words to do both the meditation and this. So hey, that went a lot faster than I thought. Chris Thompson, send me something else or else we're going to be finished.
Polarized, and it talks a lot about our tendencies to group play. sought out conversations with different.
So those of you who couldn't hear, Gene was reading me one of the other posts that didn't come. It was Katie saying, you know, this dividing thing, man, does it happen? And then she referenced a book. And by the way, I know I'm going to ask you to read the book, White Fragility. Here's another book. You can read a book by Ezra Klein. It's called Why We're Polarized, just to help you understand what's happening to us, where what has happened is that we are actually not less extreme or more extreme than we've been. We're actually not less... Well, we're not less extreme than we've been, but here's what we are. We have concentrated all of our identities in one bucket. So now, if you are, if you do yoga and you drink a latte, you are also part of a group that must vote this way and think about immigration policy this way and think about, and so we've kind of stacked all of our ways of thinking on one group. And so now we have these mega groups. So when we're reacting to one another, we're not just reacting to, tell me your policy on trade with China. We might have a policy opinion, but most of us actually don't spend much energy trying to figure out what's going on with the trade in China. What we do is we find a team, and we identify with the team, and we coalesce around the team, and we move into us versus them thinking. And so what Katie is saying is having these conversations across the barrier becomes more important now because we have so polarized the team, it's just us, and we can't talk to the other people on the other side. And we've got to have the kinds of conversations that will get us to the other side. So, yes. All right, I just heard something from Chris. Let's see. Jenny says, I think labeling whiteness and privilege and blind spots has become that come with us is important. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, here's the thing. So I use the word white people a lot today, and I know when I did that, it just jangles white people because I know exactly what's going on in your head. But here's the thing. We are white people. And we are in a construct, in a way of thinking, in a way of believing. And it is different for white people than it is for black people. So this is what I'm saying. Maybe we can react less. Maybe we can look to get to the other side more. Yeah, I think we can do that. Anything else, Gene? Let's see. Intimacy is not the, Dears Dusty says this, intimacy is not the absence of conflict. Intimacy is ability and willingness to engage in conflict in healthy ways. Look at us, Tony. He says, good job, Tony and Doug. All right, let's see. White people are the group most blind to white privilege. Robert says that. Okay, so here's the thing. All that stuff that just came out there, man, that's triggering stuff. So if you're feeling triggered, here's the lesson. The lesson is getting comfortable being uncomfortable. The lesson is whatever made you uncomfortable today, and maybe some folks will say, that's just too much for me. I can't be around all that conflict, all that craziness going on. Or we could hear the wisdom of our tradition that tells us uncomfortable can be a divine messenger. You could find something in there that would profoundly transform who you are and what you are able to do and be in the world so that we can be people of our time. Because getting to the other side of all of these built-in conflicts that we all feel with one another, that's what it's going to be a person of our time. That's what our time needs. I pray you'll come along with, because as a community, that's where we're going. Well, if you would, please put your hand on your heart and let's remember as we go that we are all, every one of us, carriers of the indwelling divine. And that means we have what we would need to navigate this moment inside of us. We have the indwelling spirit in us, which means we have courage and we have tenacity. And we have diligence. We have hope. We have love. It is in us. We don't always access it, but it's there. And let's look for opportunities, if you would extend your other hand to our city. Let's look for opportunities to share what is in us with the world around us, the people that we live with, the people that are in our county, the people that are in our homes, in our neighborhoods, the places that we go, the people that we see. Let's look for opportunities to share the beauty that is within us, the virtue that is in us, the divine center that is within us with those people, looking for opportunities to repair and heal our worlds. Amen. God bless you. We are dismissed. Love one another as you go, which means head on over to the Zoom chat and talk together. See you next week. If these recordings help you move forward on your spiritual journey, we hope you'll take an ownership stake in the community and support the health and well-being of the community. You can go to our website, commonthreadchurch.org. The donate button is at the top of the page for your computer's browser, at the bottom of the page for your phones.